From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
What a snappy tune right there. That's Brian.
That's my jam.
That's Vinny's jam. It's a Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. It's October 22nd, 2015. Figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. Thursday night here. Granny is going to be joining us on the show for the Granny Contest. The contest should be, does anybody remember what the Granny Contest is?
I had no idea.
Yeah, I'd forgotten as well. But we're going to do that tonight. And it is time, everybody, for me to announce the decision I have made about Raw and Nitro.
What a hullabaloo we caused.
We caused a real hullabaloo. Let me tell everybody
no
something.
No idea. With the havoc I was follow our one show.
Well, listen, everybody. Here's the deal. We got a lot of feedback.
Oh, we did.
And I'm not just talking on the board. I'm not just talking on Twitter. I didn't even send you the emails, Vinny. I should have forwarded you these emails.
I invite that.
But I did not want to rack you with guilt.
No, would not be guilt. I invite you to send me those emails.
All right, maybe I will. I received some of the most heartfelt feedback. Normally when we make a change, it's usually like a bunch of people that are just mad because they hate change. And granted, I'm sure there was some of that here as well. But I made it very clear that if you want to argue why we should keep this Raw report, you're welcome to do so. But I don't want to hear, I just want it because I don't like change. If there's a reason, I said, that you need to hear a review of this 2015 Raw, which is 9 times out of 10 a boring show, I would love to hear it. And everybody responded. Now, I got a lot of really, really positive feedback about Tuesday night's show. There was a lot of people that really liked Retro Tuesdays.
You're welcome.
Yes. And I also got a lot of people who very, very badly want to hear you review Raw. Not even because they don't like you or they hate you or they want to see you suffer. But it came up time and time again that they said that our review of Raw is the best review anywhere. I thought it was redundant. I thought we were just repeating a review of the same show 2 nights in a row. Apparently, I was wrong. Here is what I'm going to propose for now. I think that what we should do for the time being is Tuesday will remain Retro Night. We can do Retro Raw and Retro Nitro so that it's a themed show. I'm not going to start this yet because until January, SmackDown is a lame duck show. And trust me, nothing is going to happen on SmackDown until January. Tyler Breeze did debut. That's at least something that can be discussed. But in general, this is going to be a lame duck show all the way until January. There's no reason to review SmackDown on a regular basis at this point. Now, in January, the show is going to move to the USA Network. And I know they say this all the time, but they are determined to try to make this into an A show. We all know what's going to happen. It's going to fail, and they're going to give up. But at the beginning, they're going to try. So I think that come January, we should do Retro Tuesdays. Thursday can be Raw and SmackDown, the current shows, so that's also a theme. And then Sunday, we can do Ring of Honor and NXT, the good non-main roster stuff. And really whatever else we want on a Sunday. It doesn't matter. But I think until January comes, let's just do Raw and NXT on Thursdays, as well as Granny. And we can reevaluate where we want to put everything come
January. May I say a few things?
Yes.
I read all the feedback on the board. I got a lot of Twitter feedback. I'm sure you did as well. And I don't think anyone has actually emailed me directly, but I've as noted.
You hide your email.
That's true. I want people to leave me alone. Well, like Brock Lesnar, I don't like people. And that is the only thing Brock Lesnar and I have in common. But I digress. The two points I want to address, some people who do like the current Raw review and they want it on Tuesday and they want to know why it can't be then. Let me explain my life. I have two jobs. I work for this website and I write, edit, and do various administrative work for a website called Football Outsiders. And part of my duties for that job involve me working basically Monday from 10 a.m. till sometime between 2 and 4 a.m. Now in there, yes, I will take a shower. I will get some lunch. I'm not at my laptop for 18 hours straight every Monday. But I work a lot that day and I go to bed very late. And then I wake up very early in the morning to do more work for that site. And then only when that work is done do I get to start watching shows for this site. So my work week has been, for Tuesdays, for the past 6 or 7 weeks, sleep for 4 to 6 hours, get up and do football work, and then watch 5 hours of wrestling. And 3 hours of it sucks. So yes, when I watch wrestling more than I sleep, and the wrestling is no good, I'm going to get cranky and bitter about it. So there's that. The other thing I want to say, and that's why it is so much easier for me to review Raw on this show, the Thursday show. The other thing is, I saw some people ask things like, if we're not getting to hear Vinny rant and go crazy about Raw, then what's the point of even watching it? And to those people asking that question, I implore you. Yes, I've just broke all of Brian's headphones. Everyone, Raw's a terrible show. You shouldn't watch it. Whether I review it or not, you should not watch Raw. I'm getting paid. What's your excuse? So
that was pretty good, but please don't ever scream at the top of your lungs again.
I won't let it happen again.
Believe it or not, everybody, I was trying to make Vinny's life easier.
He was.
I was trying to help Vinny.
I almost yelled again. This all started because of me.
Yes.
It was my idea.
Well, part of it was your idea, but part of it was I did feel people were stunned. Why? What happened that made Brian not want to review Raw? I'll tell you. The show is no good.
No.
It's boring 9 times out of 10. I review it on Monday. Why, I thought, would anybody need to hear a review of this boring show twice? I had people say, I can't believe that Brian is not going to review the number one show of the number one... First off, I do. Monday, with Dave.
Yes.
Every single Monday. There's this one numbskull on the board who has convinced himself, God only knows why, that now I'm no longer watching Raw. No, dude, I'm watching it every Monday, and I'm reviewing it with Dave. I thought I was doing this for you, the listener. I thought this can't possibly be entertaining for people to hear the same review twice. Fine, I was wrong. I admit it. I'll bring it back. We'll do it on Thursday. I will give Vinny the option to wait a couple days to watch it, number one, and only have to watch the Hulu version. Because trust me, he's not missing much in the Hulu version. He's missing a half hour of the show. I can review whatever it was that he missed. I think this is a fine compromise.
It'll work out, everyone.
Yes. You can wait until Friday to hear the Raw report. Trust me, it's not time sensitive.
It's really not.
You really could wait 38 years or whatever it was to watch it when we catch up. 19 years from now, is that what it would be? Yes. You could wait 19 years to hear me and Vinny review it as we go year by year for Raw.
I'll do you one better. Write down what you think will be on Raw. Seal that in an envelope and bury it in your backyard for 19 years. And we'll look it up and we'll find out. You'll probably be right.
Yes.
There will be a boring promo. There'll be a lot of distraction finishes.
Anyway, speaking of boring the goddamn listeners here, let's start with NXT. And then we will call Granny, and then we will do Raw to really mix things up this week.
That is mixing things up. I'm totally off guard by that. I had Granny's Facebook open, but not my NXT notes. Okay, are you ready?
I am. As long as you promise not to scream at the top of your lungs ever again.
Well, I'm not on the show. Save it for the ride home.
I know some people will be shocked to hear this, but I have upgraded the studio again. I have...
You got a diffuser.
There is a diffuser here, but it's not where it's supposed to be. The point is, I am determined to have the best sounding podcast in the world. And on the day that I debut it on this show, you, for the first time, I think, in your life, decided that you were going to scream at the top of your lungs into the microphone.
I did.
Anyway.
Did I apologize for that? I will do it again.
My ears are still...
I shall secondarily apologize for my...
well, luckily there is a compressor here. But still, it was painful to me.
I don't understand.
How this all works?
No, I understand the electronic equipment. I don't understand why anyone watches Raw.
Well, that's part of the point, Vinny. They don't.
I remember what I was going to say.
They want you to watch it for them.
Some do. Some talked about watching and wanting to hear my thoughts. Or whatever. I must disagree with one point you made when this first came up. When you said that the 1996 Raws we were watching were worse than these current Raws. And I agreed with you at the time. In hindsight, I must change my mind.
Well, it's not fair.
While that 1 hour in 1996 was worse than usually any 1 hour of a three-hour Raw today, it's still three bad hours versus one bad hour. So yes, the Raws of today are in fact worse and more painful to sit through.
That may be true, Vinny. Mm-hmm. That may be true. However, you watched a good Raw this week. A good 1996 Raw.
Yes.
And there was a boring three-hour Raw.
As usual.
If you would have watched a normal, like a decent three-hour Raw, and your average 1996 Raw, trust me, we would not be having this discussion.
I'm trying to remember there was a tag match with like T.L. Hopper and somebody.
Do you remember 2 weeks ago on Raw? That was a terrible show. That 1996 Raw was terrible. It was the Shawn Michaels Steve Austin match. That whole show absolutely sucked.
Except for that main event, which sucked. I legit blocked the rest of my mind.
Yes, that's how bad it was.
Yeah, it was bad enough that Steve Austin versus Shawn Michaels sucked.
Now, the other thing that I want to do here is because we have moved the Raw show to Thursday. That means Vinny and I are only watching one show on Thursdays. And so what we're going to try and do is bring Jim up for the NXT review. That's why we're going to kick off on Thursdays with NXT. We'll be joined by Jim, hopefully, most weeks. He couldn't make it this week. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But it's something to consider for the future. All right, we're wasting too much time. Let's go with this NXT show.
NXT, Asuka versus Billy Kay. Billy Kay cut an inset promo, said she had wrestled Asuka before. She also said she had the longest legs in the company. And then I looked, and yeah, her legs are very long, but...
That was her argument as to why she was going to beat her.
Well, she said she would use her long legs to kick her in the face.
Oh.
She had the reach advantage.
You know, I don't know if...
It's actually quite practical.
Listen, I've done a lot of gymnastics. I've done taekwondo and karate. And just because you have long legs doesn't mean you could kick someone in the head.
Well, no.
In fact, most people I know with long legs can barely lift their legs up at all. But anyway, she was wrong because she got killed here.
She got killed here. I was more distracted by her terrible, terrible gear. And there's a lot of terrible gear in NXT, we noticed. But
terrible gear, and all of these new girls have terrible stripper music.
Terrible? It's not even stripper music. It's
music you'd hear at a strip club.
I guess. I haven't been in one in a while, believe it or not.
Me neither, but yeah. If I had been.
Mm-hmm. Point being, Billy Kay's gear, it's kind of standard female wrestler gear, and it's long tights for her long legs, and the midriff is mostly bare, except for a strip right across the belly which reads, Billy Kay!
Yeah, that's her name.
I guess to make sure nobody steals it. So she got more offense than I expected. The crowd was disappointed at first, and they started to get into it. She had a cool delayed suplex. Best spot of the whole match, she hits Asuka with this. Asuka makes a little comeback, and Billy cuts her off with the forearm of death to the head. And Asuka stumbles back and drops her head in pain, and then does the slow burn zombie head raise with the evil death smile. And that was awesome. And then she killed her with a bunch of kicks, and one with the cross-face chicken wing. And it was fine, but this was not nearly as fun or impressive as the Dana Brooke match.
I want to mention something here. Asuka has got a beautiful face. And yeah, yeah. Vince is such an idiot in some ways that I'm sure all he can see is, does she have a body like Carmella? No? I can't be on the main roster. There were some people that got very, very upset that Filthy Tom and I did a ranking of the 10 hottest girls in WWE. First off, can you believe that? We have a pro wrestling website, and people were upset that me and filthy Tom Lawler ranked the 10 hottest girls in WWE. So, by the way, if you haven't listened to the show that we did today, we ranked the 10 hottest dudes this week.
Yeah.
Point of this
is... Who was number one?
You really need to know who Filthy Tom ranked number one.
Did you say Kane?
Kane.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. Number two was Roman Reigns, if you want to know the real number one.
Sure.
Anyway, the point of this is, to think that I was accused of sexism for ranking girls in WWE in order of hotness. Let me explain something to you, everybody. We're not doing a podcast about the poetry industry, or about mechanics, or about school teachers, okay? We're doing a podcast about pro wrestling. And when you're a woman in the pro wrestling business, this is... I was thinking about this. I think the wrestling is the second most cosmetic business in the world. Number one being bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Even modeling, if you're a famous girl, they can Photoshop you and put on makeup, and they can make you into a cover girl. But in bodybuilding and in pro wrestling, it's 100% cosmetic. And you want to know something about bodybuilding or fitness competitions? You know what happens when you go to one of these competitions? They judge the top 10. They judge you from 10 to 1. So if you're going to be a female professional wrestler, I'm sorry, you're judged 90% on your looks.
Your career success will hinge greatly on how hot you
are. Exactly.
If you don't want that, you should pick a different career.
Now, if we were
doing... If you had sat down and ranked the 10 hottest women in Titan Towers,
sure,
that would be sexist.
Yes. Because what do their looks have to do with their job?
There's
working
nothing to do with their
in
job.
Titan Tower? Nothing.
No.
Or if you're a jockey, or if you're anything, if you have any job, and I ranked you in order of how hot you were, yeah, I'm sexist. But guess what? In pro wrestling,
it matters.
It does matter.
It's relevant.
Just got my dander up thinking about that.
They replayed the Baron Corbin video package from before he first debuted, actually, when he was riding his bike in the rain and being very antisocial. Tyler Breeze cut a promo on Samoa Joe, and this is important. He cut this promo, as always, on his selfie stick.
Yeah. They're marketing them.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah.
But it comes up later by the end of this show. So Tyler said, I eliminated you from the Battle Royal, Joe, because you eliminated me first. And if that pisses you off, I dare you to come find me. Dash and Dawson versus Enzo and Cass.
Enzo Amore is not a main roster talent, so he was not ranked in the 10 hottest dudes in WWE. But I can safely say he would not have made my top 10. However,
I don't even know. Honestly.
More power to the man.
Yeah. He breaks the scale, he breaks the hotness scale, shatters it. He's either far and away number one or far and away at the bottom, and I honestly don't know which.
Every week, he finds a way to be more horrifying and more power to him.
This was his weirdest look yet.
I don't think so. I think if you put all of his looks together, you'd have forgotten some truly hideous looks.
When he dyed his beard to be the exact same color as his skin.
That was a bad one.
That was worse, but he had a top knot. He had many gold chains. He had a sleeveless leather vest. And he had leopard print capris with fringe. I'm not making this up. This is what he wore to the ring.
Yes. He did this on purpose.
Yeah. This was his plan. So Dash and Dawson are the best heel team in the world right now. And no, they're not, but they're quite great. And they were working over Enzo's leg, and they put him in a leg submission, and Cass had to interfere and break up the pin break up the submission to save the match. So they turned on Cass for a while, and they beat him up, but then they turned back, and Enzo caught them in a small package and won.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they destroyed Enzo and Cass afterwards. They laid Cass out with the Shatter Machine, which still is a great-looking move with a cool name. And they were standing triumphant at the end. So it was the usual WWE booking where one team gets pinned and then they get beat up. So both teams look like losers.
Scott Dawson really wants to put one over on me. with their impressive in-ring performance outside of getting pinned.
He wants to put one over on you?
Hey, didn't see this one? Scott Dawson on Twitter targeted me.
He called you out.
Over not expecting them to win in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. It was astonishing.
Well, I think I did see that.
And I'd like to know that at the end of the day, I was right.
They did not win the Dusty Rhodes
Tag Team
Classic.
They did not win, nor did they go to the finals.
No, nor did they beat Enzo and Cass.
That's right.
He needs to focus more on his training and less on critics.
If he concentrated as much on his training as he did on Twitter, perhaps they would be doing better in NXT.
Heading Rhino video package. They were doing a Baron Corbin main event. That's all this stuff. Eva Marie sent us another video of her cleavage from Paris.
Am I sexist to point out that her tits were hanging out? Because
no.
Let me tell you something. That was by design.
Yeah. They did not say, put on this turtleneck.
No, and they did not. They did not. They said put nothing on, and then they realized, well, we can't do that.
Yeah.
So put as little on as possible.
Mm-hmm. And they zoomed the camera in, and they showed her face. It wasn't that blatant, but they did not show her waist. Only the upper portion of her body was in this. Anyway, she said she's coming back soon and she misses us. Danny Burch versus James Storm. This was awesome. Danny Burch comes out, and he's NXT jobber guy, and they all know him. And then this funky honky-tonk music starts playing, and the crowd is bewildered. They have no idea what's going on. The big screen, all it has is like fire on it. It could be anybody. And then James Storm saunters out, and they all recognized him, and they snapped.
Well, look where they're at. I'm sure a fair number of them went to the Impact Zone.
Probably
on a regular basis.
Probably.
He was very beloved.
He was a returning hero. A conquering hero for sure. They were ecstatic to see James Storm.
Announcers, by the way, referred to him as a huge signing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, as they explained, he once wrestled for WCW and then spent 15 years on the indies.
On the independent circuit.
And that makes him a huge signing.
I howled.
That was great. So they had a back-and-forth TV match. It was short. It was good. Storm hit his corner enziguri that he does, and then a running neck breaker. And the announcers all said, "We all know what's next." And I thought, the super kick? And then he grabbed Burch, and he hit a move that I at first thought I had never, ever seen him do before.
That's right.
And I have seen a lot of James Storm's TNA matches. Not 100%, but more than 90% of his matches. I don't remember ever seeing him do this move. It started off like white noise, and he kind of spun him around and dropped him on his face, but apparently it is called the 8-second ride.
You know, I don't know what it is, but sometimes I will see someone on WWE television that I've seen forever, and I can't for the life of me remember their name. This happens all the time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this was the 8-second ride.
Hmm.
How?
I don't know.
I don't have any idea.
I thought Chris Harris had a move called the 8-second ride. It was a different move. But you, to prove this was his move, you found a clip of it on YouTube.
That's right. I Googled 8-second ride James Storm.
Came right up. And
went through all the porn, and then there it was.
It was in a cage match. I think Scott Steiner was in there. He didn't take the move, of course, but he hits this move. It's a 5-second clip. And then I read the description, which reads, quote, James Storm's, I guess, finisher.
Yes. Apparently he didn't hit a lot of people with this move. Or
no.
Win many matches
no.
Back in 2008.
So he hit Danny Burch with it, and he pinned him. And then he told him sorry about his damn luck, and everyone loved him. A fine debut. And it's always NXT, the one thing you can say, there are fresh faces.
That's right.
All the time. And that's key. Had an Apollo Crews video package. This was awesome, actually.
Oh, man.
This was great.
How do they not put these things on Raw?
I was just thinking.
It's amazing.
I realize Tyler Breeze's debut was a last second thing. But Tyler Breeze isn't getting a hype video like this.
Really, like, how can someone's debut be a last-second thing? You can't plan 5 weeks in advance?
They can't.
Can you plan 2 weeks in advance? Because I'll bet somebody there... Okay, I don't mean to give a depressing analogy. But let's just say that Vince McMahon died in a plane crash tomorrow. You don't think that by Hell in a Cell they could have a hell of a video package for Vince McMahon?
Well, there's that.
I'll bet they could have it in 3 hours. So don't tell me that you can't come up with something for Tyler Breeze or anybody.
Yeah, they just don't care. Anyway, so he talked about his...
They only have 3 hours.
Yeah.
People might switch to Nitro.
That's a key point. So his parents are from Nigeria. He is a first-generation American.
Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I hope someone alerts the great power Udi. Because he could probably arrange for an Apollo Crews day in Nigeria.
That's true.
Given the power that he has.
So they moved to various American cities and then back to Uganda and Kenya. And then his parents split up and he spent time watching wrestling with his dad, but he lived with his mom in Atlanta. And he starts to talk about the sacrifices his mom made to take care of the family by herself, and he began to weep.
It was very touching.
Love and admiration for his mother. Oh, it was sad. Sad, but also endearing. And he talked about how he started wrestling in high school. They had a bunch of clips of him in Evolve. And he was sure to indicate that through every step of the way, WWE was always his ultimate goal. Wise man. So this is great. And all I could think was, how can this be the same company that produces Monday Night Raw? How are they under the same umbrella? I don't understand. And on that note, Nia Jax debuted last week, and she's still getting video packages.
Well, you know, they got a couple extra in the can.
I'm not even complaining. It's like we built her debut for 6 weeks, and then she debuted. Now we're celebrating it.
It is funny that WWE can't even do a coming soon video, and NXT has so many coming soon videos that they air them after they've already came.
Yes. Alexa Bliss versus Peyton Royce.
Another new girl with stripper music.
Yeah, I don't think... Well, you know what? I made fun of Billie Kay for her name on her belly, but I think if you took that away, I don't think I could tell... I could watch 100 Billie Kay, Peyton Royce matches and still don't know which is which. They're the female versions of Blake and Murphy. So, I like the spot where Peyton Royce does a drop down, and Alexa, rather than jumping over her, steps on her back and stands there, and Peyton Royce is trapped.
She heard great weight.
Trapped under 104 pounds of Alexa Bliss.
Well, you know, when you distribute your weight right, Vinny.
I hadn't thought of that. Leverage is key.
Yes.
Yes. Other than that, a developmental women's match. It was very clunky. Alexa won with a standing moonsault knee drop, and then the sparkle splash. And then we got the best part. Alexa cuts a promo, and obviously the biggest hero to this crowd in the company is Bayley. And Alexa hates Bayley, and therefore Alexa is the biggest heel. And they booed the hell out of her. They hate Alexa. And it was awesome. So she sarcastically congratulated Bayley again, but said people like her were not meant to be champion. And then she promised that she would be the next champion. And the crowd chanted Bayley's name. And it was awesome.
Fine little build for this match.
It's going very well. And then Baron Corbin wrestled Rhino. So... They had two...
This was at the same tapings where James Storm debuted. This crowd was dead. They did not care about Baron Corbin versus the Rhino.
Well, let's see. They were a thrown-together tag team. Two mean guys.
Didn't like each other.
Didn't like each other. Got to the finals. Lost. Immediately broke up. And when they did the breakup angle, it was not clear... I mean, obviously, Corbin turned on Rhino, but it was still a battle royal. It's not like he did anything... particularly heinous, so it was very unclear who the crowd was supposed to cheer, and you could tell for about 5 minutes they were trying really hard to figure it out. Do we chant for Rhino? Do we chant for Corbin? Who do we boo?
Or do we care?
And then after the five-minute point, they decided, you know what, we don't care. Let's not cheer or boo for either man. And so we had Baron Corbin holding Rhino down in a variety of holds and chokes in a silent building. It was boring.
Yeah, nobody cares about the match, and so their plan is, let's do some rest holds. Let's hold each other in chin locks. That'll turn this crowd around.
But to toss it up, when I put you in a chin lock, I will also grab your arm. Anyway, so they did some stuff at the end, and Rhino hit a gore, but Corbin kicked out. So Rhino tried another one, and Corbin caught him and hit End of Days for the win. And Rhino's not small.
No, he's not a
small
man. In fact,
we did the tail of tape, we were laughing because Corbin's like 8 inches taller. Then we realized Rhino still outweighs him. Corbin's very strong. So that was that. The last minute of this match was very good.
Yes.
The prior 15 were poor.
Very, very boring match, but it is never non-impressive when Baron Corbin hits the end of days on a very, very large man.
Yes.
I've never done that move. I've never even tried to do that move. Maybe the move is way easier than it looks, but it looks exceedingly impressive.
I have never done that move. I have thrown men around, and I have a basic understanding of physics and center of gravity and weight and momentum.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
It's really impressive what he does. And then the show ended with maybe my favorite thing on the whole show.
I never thought I would see the day where I heard Samoa Joe say the words, selfie stick.
Samoa Joe ends the show with a backstage promo on Tyler Breeze. He is angry that Tyler Breeze eliminated him from the Battle Royal after he eliminated Tyler. He was even more angry that Tyler cut a promo on him on a selfie stick.
Well,
this offended Joe.
Joe's old school.
Joe is old school. And Joe essentially said, you know, make yourself all pretty, put in your highlights, and make sure you shave that day, because after I get done with you, you'll never look the same again. It was a hell of an old school promo. Remember when Joe was in TNA for 10 years and half-assing everything? Didn't care?
Well, it wasn't the whole 10 years.
No,
but the last...
The majority. The last 5 years.
Probably the last 5 years to be safe, yeah.
He showed up, he collected his check, and he left, and he was very boring. Now Joe gets NXT, and he's motivated, and he is awesome.
Well, I think he realizes that way more people are watching NXT every week than are watching TNA.
Also true.
And I wouldn't say it's a lot more. I'll bet close to 500,000 people watch NXT. Maybe that's excessive. I don't know what the numbers are. But I can tell you this, way more people talk about NXT than talk about TNA. I take calls on Observer Live. I read people's text messages. I get people's emails. I go on Twitter. Nobody ever brings up TNA unless something really goofy happens. But I hear about NXT every single day. So either way more people are watching it than I figured, or people really just don't care about TNA. Or the other thing is Destination America, it skews old. Like 55-year-olds are the ones watching ROH and TNA, and maybe they just don't have a modern way to contact me. Maybe they're the ones that call my phone and don't leave a message. All right, everybody, that's NXT. Stand by. Let's not waste any time. We're going to get Granny here for the Granny Contest. Hopefully some of you remember what it is, and then away we shall go. So stand by. All right, everybody. Well, we're back on the show. Granny's not here yet. My call is going straight to voicemail. Granny likes to email and ask when exactly are we going to be on, and I let her know, and then she turns her phone off. So let's do Raw, and then we will get to Granny and conclude the show with the Granny Contest.
I did watch Raw. I watched the Hulu version. I did not take notes. I watched the show. I paid attention to it. I just didn't write anything down. It wouldn't have mattered. What would I have written down?
You know what? Funny stuff?
Yeah. It opened with Steve Austin coming out for a boring 20-minute promo, and I'm not lying. Steve Austin cut a boring 20-minute promo. I guess it didn't go 20 minutes, but he came out, he talked about Texas wrestling for a while, he said, we're doing WrestleMania here next year, I'm doing a podcast with Brock Lesnar tonight, now here's The Undertaker. And that was it.
That was everything.
That was all he said. So Undertaker came out, Austin vanished, Taker then runs his mouth and says some rigmarole about having a match with Hell in a Cell, Lesnar, and out come Heyman and Lesnar. And I love Paul Heyman, but I'm watching him talk here, and I thought, I don't care about anything this man says. They have killed my interest in Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. I don't care about this feud at all. And the payoff was Taker dared Lesnar to fight, and Lesnar did the big tease, and he jumped up in the apron, and Heyman was having a fit, and he talked Brock into leaving, and Brock left, and that was the end.
There's nothing more to add here.
Oh, by the way, the other thing. We've been watching all the retro Raws, and it gets so annoying because they will always reference what happened in the baseball game that weekend or the football game that night or whatever.
It's been Nitro.
They do it on Raw, too.
Mm.
The Nitro one specifically because the Braves were in it, and that's their team and everything. But there's all... They're always referencing what happened in golf or whatever sporting event happened that weekend. And it's very, very annoying then. And they're still doing it now. I think I'm here and talk about which players in the Cowboys are injured. And no one cares, dude.
When Vinny doesn't care,
no one cares.
That's saying something. I just zone it out.
Yeah. New Day versus Cena and the Dudleys. And they had every tag match between these six dudes you ever saw. Cena did hit a big dive off the top rope, actually. From the top rope to the floor on a Big E.
He did a high fly flow.
He did.
It's more like a low fly flow.
Yeah. He did his best. But the key to this is, that is how much he trusts Big E to catch him. Because it was not him diving on all three dudes. It was only him diving onto Big E and Big E alone. Because he knows Big E is strong.
He knows he's strong, but a couple of weeks ago, Big E did that overhead belly-to-belly and dropped him right on top of his head.
Yeah, that happened.
And I thought, okay, one of two things is going to happen here. Either A, this is the end of Big E. They're going to lose the tag titles. He's going to be taken out of the New Day. You'll never see the guy again. He'll be back in NXT, and then he'll be fired. Or John Cena likes a guy, but he's going to say, dude, I like you. Let's never do that overhead belly-to-belly again. I was wrong. They did the same spot in this match. And Big E, to his credit, got the dude over this time.
Oh, yeah, he is strong. So they did the distraction finish. I wasn't not even really a distraction. Xavier pinned D-Von with the schoolboy holding the trunks. And then, just as I said in NXT, classic WWE booking where one team wins and the other team beats them up.
So, that happened.
Xavier got powerbombed through a table, and Kofi and Big E were very sad, and that was that. And they, of course, pushed Dudley's versus New Day for the tag titles, and also John Cena versus a mystery opponent for the pay-per-view.
That's right, a John Cena open challenge on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Talked about Randy Orton. I love, they can't just say he's injured. They have to turn it into a mystery.
They have turned into a storyline.
That's not even a storyline.
No, it's a storyline.
Well, it is a storyline. But that's not what bothers me. If they had just said Randy Orton was taken out backstage by the Wyatts, I'd say, okay, cool, that's part of the storyline. No, they have to say, Randy Orton no-showed the Mexico tours, and we haven't seen him all day. No one knows what's happened to Randy Orton.
Well, it is very funny, this company. So you've got Lana and Rusev, who it's revealed on TMZ.com that they're engaged. That means this whole storyline has to come to an end because your actors cannot get married or engaged or anything in real life. Otherwise, you got to end any storylines that they're involved in. However, Randy Orton is injured, and so they have to make up a ridiculous story. The Wyatts kidnapped him in Mexico, we think. Michael Cole originally, you have to understand, the announcers are on different pages. JBL has heard a rumor.
This is all dumb.
The Wyatts and El Chapo got a hold of Randy Orton in Mexico. Meanwhile, Michael Cole has not heard this rumor. Michael Cole comes on television and he says, Randy Orton no-showed the events in Mexico. Which, by the way, let me tell you something. When you no-show an event in Mexico, something bad happened. Okay? Michael Cole is unconcerned. Randy Orton no-showed the events in Mexico, and we have not seen him all day. Up next, and JBL has to jump in and explain, I think that the Wyatts got him. Why is Michael Cole not concerned that Randy Orton vanished in Mexico?
I don't know.
Who is in charge of keeping track of where Randy Orton is at?
That should be somebody's job.
It should be.
Renee Young interviewed Ambrose, who was supposed to team with Orton against the Wyatts. He was certain the Wyatts took Orton out, and that's fine. He'll just have to fight him by himself. There was a Divas tag match, apparently, that did not air on Hulu.
Oh, man, what a match. Nikki and Alicia against Naomi and Sasha Banks. Of all of these girls, the most popular is Sasha Banks. The fans are repeatedly cheering and chanting for her. So they put her in the ring very briefly, and then they put her on the apron for the whole match, and then she finally gets a hot tag. She does like two moves, and then she tags her partner back in.
I thought you said she got pinned.
No, she did not get pinned. Nikki went for the rack attack, Naomi fought free, and then Nikki just rack attacked her anyway for the pin. So why did she fight free? I don't know.
Maybe she dropped her like Lex Luger in Road Block.
Could have been. Hmm. But that's not what happened.
They announced Kane was suspended for his actions last week. It's just like,
yeah,
of all the things Kane's done, that's what gets him suspended?
Yes. He was insubordinate. I don't know.
Remember,
who cares?
Remember in TNA when, after Sam Shaw had knocked many backstage employees unconscious with violent blows, and he cut 1 inch of locks off Christy's hair, and that got him suspended?
It's TNA, dude.
That's TNA, but same thing. Like, Kane's done so many things worse than this that did not get him suspended. They showed Shawn Michaels backstage hanging out with Hunter, and then he came out for a promo. This is actually my favorite thing on the show, because the whole point of Shawn's promo was he can never remember what they script for him, so he just goes out and runs his mouth for a while, and it's better.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what they scripted and he actually remembered this time, or if it's just what he said, but it's what happened. So he was going off about whatever and Hell in a Cell and how it's the most violent match ever and how Taker and Brock in a cell was going to be great and Roman and Bray in a cell was going to be great, and he's running his mouth and out comes Seth Rollins. He's like, dude, you were supposed to introduce me. Hunter told you to introduce me. And then Shawn said, I forget. They tell me what to say and then I forget and run my mouth. So they bebopped around for a while and Seth was talking about how he was the next Shawn Michaels, and Shawn said, I never tried to be the next anyone. If you just try to be yourself, you'd be better off. And eventually the end of it was Seth wanted them to play his music and they refused because God forbid the champion gets his music played when he asks for it. And Shawn explained, when you're the second version, they don't play your music, but when you're a Hall of Famer, they do. And he played his music and he left, and that was that. Oh, I forgot. He also mentioned...
Was he not Hacksaw Jim Duggan? Am I the only one?
I don't know where you're getting... Well, he's got the eye and the beard.
The eye, the beard, he parades around.
I'm not sure who... He's not Duggan. There's... He's just old man Shawn. That's what he is.
I guess so.
There's similarities with Duggan.
He's a 50-year-old Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, who don't care at all. He does go out there to... He goes out there to amuse himself, and as long as they're going to pay him for that, great. So he also announced that Rollins would face Ryback. And Rollins faced Ryback and pinned him with a pedigree.
He beat him.
He won a match.
Not only did he win a match, but he beat the guy that he beat in his last TV match before the streak began. Can you imagine being that guy? Seth can't pin anybody, but he can always beat Ryback.
So now we need to look up the last person he beat who was not Ryback or Sting.
Well, Cena at SummerSlam.
I see.
And before that, Neville.
So you did look this up.
I did look it up.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I got stats.
I'm glad one of us did research.
He beat John Cena and Sting on pay-per-view. Other than that, he's only had 2 television wins since the 3rd of August. It'd be 3.
Which wouldn't be so bad.
2 Rybacks and a Neville.
That wouldn't be so bad if those were his only 3 matches.
No.
But he's had like 20. And he's lost the rest.
Oh, man, I'd have to go back. I mean, if you count all of his matches in August, I mean, he'd probably be 40-3 or something like that.
Yeah.
3-40.
3-40. Yeah.
But he did have a series of house show wins beating Dean Ambrose.
Those don't count. Only TV counts.
No, I was counting TV when I was counting his 1-18 losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
I was counting house shows. Because they were doing the John Cena-Seth Rollins matches. And, of course, John Cena wins all those matches.
Yes. There was a 6-man tag that did not air on Hulu. Rusev, Sheamus, and Barrett versus Ziggler, Cesaro, and Neville. Anything of note there?
Let's see here. The heels worked over Neville. Cesaro made a hot tag. Everybody hit a big move. Sheamus. Oh, the only thing of note, Sheamus pins Ziggler. They have a 6-man tag with a finish. A clean finish.
All right.
I guess technically he booted the man behind the referee's back, but the heels beat the babyfaces. An hour goes by, and then they announce this exact same match is the pre-show match for Hell in a Cell. Yes.
Well, that's odd.
You don't say. They don't even sell it like the babyfaces will be getting their revenge.
No.
They just announce the pre-show match is, drumroll please,
mm-hmm,
Cesaro, Neville, and Ziggler against Barrett, Rusev, and Sheamus.
Because in their minds, the babyfaces going out for revenge won't sell. what we'll sell is our sports entertainment is so high quality, you will want to watch the exact same thing again.
Wrong.
I know.
It's incorrect.
I know it's wrong, but that's what they think is going to happen.
You couldn't even do... All right, think about this. This took me 1 second. So the finish was Sheamus boots Ziggler behind the ref's back, and Barrett pins him. So Ziggler's issue is with Sheamus, right?
Yes.
Ziggler is so angry that he challenges this man, Sheamus, to a rematch.
All right.
I mean, if you could find a way to do it, you could even put the briefcase on the line. But the match comes, and Tyler Breeze interferes to take out Ziggler because he's now with Summer Rae, and Sheamus gets the win.
That took you no thought.
That took me 0 seconds.
Literally no thought.
All they did was just rebook the exact same match.
I didn't even watch all of the show, and I'm getting depressed. Ric Flair came out, talked about the Von Erichs in Texas and all the great times they had out there. Said Roman Reigns was his guy. And he brought out Roman Reigns and he left. So Roman calls out the Wyatts. Oh, God.
Yes. Vinny's losing it.
No, I'm not going to lose it. I will not raise my voice again.
A verbal debate.
Did they learn nothing from last week's show? Did they think that was an anomaly?
What part of it?
The part where Roman came out and the crowd completely rejected him. They were chanting, what? They were booing
him. That happens
him.
Every week.
It was very, very noticeable last week, and it was very, very noticeable this week.
Yes.
More to the point. I'm sick. What's happening? I am sick of bad actors reading bad dialogue in place of fighting. Now, granted, the fighting they do isn't always the best either. But if you have watched this program religiously and you're paying very close attention, what you will get is probably literally an hour of Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt having a chat cumulatively. And then 50 minutes of a fight.
Yes. And he literally invited the man into the ring.
Yes, please come in for a
sit-down chat.
Yeah, well, we will discuss. Well, we will have a discussion. And you know what's funny? This just occurred to me, to put the two together. Somebody on Facebook put up a random clip of Conor McGregor in Ultimate Fighter. And I didn't even really know what was going on. Well, I kind of know. But in that 1 minute, it was so much better than Roman Reigns. I know, breaking news, Conor McGregor's a better talker than Roman Reigns. But anyway,
you know what amazes me?
The concept here is so stupid.
Let's pretend that this is real, okay? Bray Wyatt has triple-teamed Roman Reigns over and over and over and over again, right?
Yes, but go back before that. Bray Wyatt threatened Roman's daughter.
That's right.
Then triple-teamed him forever.
All right, so they've been triple-teaming this guy forever. He's threatened the man's daughter. Forget that part. The key is the triple-team. He's been triple-teaming the man forever and ever and ever. Roman Reigns decides, I'm going to go take care of this myself. Not, I'm going to get two friends, maybe five, because this guy is always overwhelming me. No, this guy decides he's going to go do this himself. He gets in the ring with a guy, and his entire debate is, I'll bet you're scared of me. Why don't you fight me one-on-one? You really think this plan's going to work, you idiot?
I don't know. I don't.
That was his plan. I'm going to talk him into fighting me one-on-one. First off, why would you even knew that? Because you're in a Hell in a Cell match on Sunday.
Yeah, it's already booked. It's been booked for weeks.
What are you wasting your time for here?
You should be training with Dawson.
Anyway, this sucked.
It sucked. And then, by the way, then Roman cheap-shotted him. So he's a liar and a dick. And the Vintner was back. He's a Wyatt again.
He is back for no good reason.
No. Absolutely no reason at all. He changed his mind. And they had a brawl, and Dean came out to clean house, and that was that. So the Helmsleys and Rollins are backstage. They're talking about how it's not fair that there's now three Wyatts against Roman and Dean, and that's not a fair fight. And Shawn says, well, Shawn Michaels steps in and says, hey, Seth, you're such a big, tough guy. Why don't you be the third man? Why don't you take on that match? And they tried to tell him it was a bad idea, and he called out Seth for being a coward, and Seth finally said, hey, I'll team with anyone. I'll fight anybody. I'll go do that match. Make that match official. So they did. I'm referencing all this with Dave's notes from The Observer. I'm glancing at what he wrote and said, oh, yeah, this segment, and I'm giving you my thoughts. However, Dave's thoughts on the next match exactly mirror my own, with hardly any more detail. So I will read everything he wrote about it, and I have nothing else to add. Charlotte beat Brie Bella in 5 minutes 30 seconds with the figure eight, even though Nikki had earlier distracted Charlotte by holding up the belt.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Renee interviewed Paige. So Paige is still trying to be friends with Charlotte.
Let me talk about this match a little bit, since Dave didn't mention this.
All right.
So you've got a match, right? And it's Charlotte and Brie Bella. Charlotte's the babyface, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We got that clear?
As far as I know.
So they do this match, and yes, Nikki distracts her with the belt, which allows Brie to drop kick her and get the heat. Heat goes on forever. So then Brie, who's a heel, right?
Yeah.
She starts laying in the Daniel Bryan kicks to Charlotte.
Yeah, every match she does this now.
Everybody starts doing the yes chant.
Yeah.
So finally, as they're all excited because she's doing Daniel Bryan's spots, Charlotte cuts her off and starts to make a comeback. But now, nobody cares one bit about Charlotte.
No.
Because there was one thing they liked in the match, and Brie Bella the heel was the one who did it. Who puts these matches together? Whoever it is, stop doing this spot. It's killing the comeback of the babyface.
So Renee interviewed Paige, and the gimmick is Natalya got taken out on SmackDown, and they don't know who did it, but Renee thinks Paige did it. So Paige was saying it may have been anyone on the roster like Naomi or Lana, or maybe even a past diva like Caitlyn or Trish. And Renee wasn't buying any of this, and so Paige called her Sally Jesse Raphael. Yes, in 2015. Sally Jesse Raphael reference. And then made a comment about how she's not as hot as Erin Andrews, and she walked out. And
apparently Sally Jesse Raphael is still doing some stuff here and there. But yes, when I heard it, I thought, you weren't even born in the heyday of Sally Jesse Raphael.
All I know is, I may have done a poor job of recapping this. Paige was great here.
Oh, Paige is always great. I've been trying to tell you that forever.
Paige was great, but I actually misspoke. Renee was great. Renee's the best backstage interviewer since Gene. And they're probably going to lose her, and that makes me sad.
It is the Gene Okerlund deal where she asks a question, which, unlike all of the other idiots in WWE, is a good question. And the heel tries to get out of answering the question, and Renee pushes.
Yeah.
You didn't answer my question. I asked this.
Yeah. Renee is one of the very, very few people who's allowed to be good at her job. Kevin Owens and Mark Henry did not air on Hulu. And I'm stunned, because I've seen the GIF of the finish, where Mark Henry got up for the pop-up powerbomb. It's awesome. This would be a 4-minute match, and they couldn't fit it onto the Hulu cut.
Well, they only have 90 minutes.
I guess.
In what would be probably a 1 hour and a 2 hour show. Probably exactly 2 hours if you take out the commercials.
Yep. Renee interviewed Seth. She called tonight's main event a Shield reunion, and he said, no, it's not about that.
Hold on a second.
All about me.
We got to do some live. Granny. Hello?
Brian's on his cell phone.
Hello? Yeah, she called me on the cell phone, but now she can't hear me. Granny. Hello? What's happening here?
I don't know. Call her back.
Like, we're halfway through the Raw report. This Raw report, Vinny, is very important.
They've waited 2 extra days. They can wait another 5 minutes.
All right, now she's saying try again. All right, you keep going. I'll tell her we'll call in 5 minutes.
So the main event was The Shield, only not The Shield, against Wyatt and The Vintner and Braun Strowman. So the whole point of this was Seth wanted to prove he was the best guy around, and so when it came time for the hot tag, he jumped off the apron and walked out. Why did he even bother going out there?
You want to know why? Because of football. I know in storyline, mm-hmm. But they have been talking about doing a Shield reunion for well over a year now.
Since they broke up?
That's right. They teased it in that one three-way, where they were doing the, there was a four-way with Randy Orton.
Yes, which was awesome.
Yep, and I talked about it at the time. I said, this four-way, one of the main reasons they signed that four-way in the first place was so they could do the one triple power bomb spot. Mm-hmm. That was the main reason they booked that on that show, was so they could do that one spot right there. Oh my God, she's calling again. Hold on.
I'll wait.
Granny. Oh, Jesus God.
Apparently the telephone has...
And she's killing my rant right here. Point of this is, they did that for that one reason. And
can you put her on a speaker?
Hello?
What does it say when she emails you?
She says, try again. And I said, I'll call you in 5 minutes. Apparently she can't wait. Stand by, everybody. The granny segment is interrupting Raw. Now, you know, you want to know why I haven't been doing timestamps? Oh, my God. Let's try this again.
Hello?
Granny, what is happening?
The dumb thing was on airplane mode. I don't know how it got on there.
Well, I've been trying to answer your calls to tell you that we want to finish the Raw report before we call you.
Okay. So now what?
Can I call you in 5 minutes or less?
All right.
Okay, make sure it's not on airplane mode.
Okay, I already took it off.
Okay, we'll call you right back. Bye-bye. First, I'm worried that she's dead. And then, when I finally get a hold of her, I can't get a hold of her. Anyway.
So, yes, Seth walked out of the match.
Wait, where was I? Oh, yeah. Oh. They've been, for a year now, mm-hmm. I've been hearing that they want to do something involving a Shield reunion. Okay? This was it. Yeah. With no build.
Yeah.
They had build for Triple H versus Mr. Perfect for weeks.
Yeah.
To lead up to him beating Wild Man Mark Merrow for the Intercontinental title. Mm-hmm. They can't even build up the Shield reunion for more than an hour.
Not only was there no build, there was also no payoff.
Exactly.
There was nothing to this. It was how to do everything wrong at once. So Seth leaves. And the heels keep on fighting, and there's a DQ finish with a kendo stick, and they take out Dean. But then Roman, in my favorite actual wrestling moment of the entire show, Roman has an absolutely insane dive. Usually when guys do a dive over the ropes, there's like pristine, perfect form. Roman launches himself out of the ring, and he's waving his arms like he's swimming. He just lands onto the bad guys. That was great. And they go back in the ring, and he makes a comeback, and ends with him. He speared Bray, right? Maybe I forget what he did. It doesn't matter. That was Raw.
Best part of this match was Rowan. At first, I was very down on a spot that Rowan did, but then it was explained to me, and it may not have been his fault. They did a tackle spot.
Yes.
Now, for those of you that have never wrestled, when you hit the tackle and the guy takes the bump, you either run to the right, or if you're Chris Benoit or me, you run straight, right?
Yes.
He hits the tackle and he ran to the left. I would guarantee 99.99% of people watching didn't even notice, but it leaped out at me. He runs to the left the wrong way, mm-hmm. and Roman has to do a full 180 on his belly so that Rowan can jump over him as he comes off the ropes. So it was explained to me afterwards that it actually was not Rowan being an idiot. They were on the wrong side of the ring. And so when they did the spot, something was going to happen when a dude hit the ropes or something like that. And so he had to run the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. That was the way it was explained. I haven't gone back to watch, but that does at least make sense. And there was also the great spot where Rowan was going to throw a punch in the corner and he wanted the opponent to block. And so he screamed block so loudly that they had to bleep it off the feed. That was amazing.
That's actually not what I thought you were talking about with the tackle spot. At the end, after the big crazy dive, Roman goes to spear Bray, and he's charging across the ring, and right before he makes contact, suddenly Rowan flashes in front of the screen, and all three men go down. And then Roman speared Rowan anyway.
Yes.
I don't know what it was.
All right, for those of you wondering about Luke Harper, I don't know what's going on, but somebody in the company told me that they believe it was a personal issue and that he will be back next week. So hopefully everything is fine. That's all I know about it. I don't know anything more or what happened or what, but it doesn't look like... Apparently there was a picture of him and a bunch of guys all wearing... It was like a Harper Club shirt or something like that, and they were all posing, and Jericho put it on his Twitter and then immediately took it down, and some people thought that he might have gotten heat over that. I don't think that's what it was, but I don't know. I only know that he should be back this coming week, and if not, maybe there is something up. All right. Granny is waiting eagerly. Let's
see if we can get this done now.
Well, hey, we did it live before, so... Let's give everybody a behind-the-scenes look at how this is all done here on the program. From dialing to answer.
Hello?
All right, Granny, here we go.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Good, because we're ready to go. Do you remember what we're doing this week?
Yes, we have the contest.
Do you remember what the contest was?
The karaoke or whatever you call it.
The karaoke contest.
Karaoke, yes.
That's right. Vinny, mm-hmm. Is there anything on our Facebook that we need to deal with first?
No.
That answered that question.
Okay.
Granny, this contest could go by very quickly, so is there anything else that's going on in your life that you'd like to get out before we get going?
Well, let's see. I've got my sister's birthday on the 26th on Monday. She's going to be 91.
Wow.
Yeah.
6 more years of this, Vinny.
I was going to say, I didn't know people got that old.
Don't count so fast. Anyway, and if you want to know what I did today, I raked leaves, and I blew all the leaves off of my deck. And I put some stuff in the trunk of my car to take to Goodwill and washed part of the side of my house.
It's pretty good, Granny.
Yeah.
You know, when we went to Los Angeles last week for the wedding,
yeah,
we traveled. It seems to be a thing with Whitney and I now. It is a constant apparent need to travel with 85-year-old people. We went to Vegas with you.
I heard about that.
Yeah, we went to Los Angeles with her great uncle Gug, who is 85 years old and awesome. There's something about these 85 year olds. They're great.
Well, isn't that Gabe?
Yes, they call him Gug, Uncle Gug.
Okay.
But anyway, Gabe is awesome. I hung out with him all weekend. He's out of his mind, just like you. It was good times.
Out of their mind, huh?
You know what, Granny?
Out of our mind.
He's single.
You know, you guys should stop that. Your mom does the same thing. She sits there and raises her eyebrows and stuff. I don't want anything to do with anybody.
Wow.
You know, Granny, Brian introduced me to my wife.
I did. Mm-hmm. I brought two lives together.
He's a successful matchmaker.
I am.
Don't try this one.
All right, fine. All right, okay. So the Granny contest, everybody, was karaoke. Is that correct?
As far as I know.
Granny, a couple of people posted on your timeline. Did you see them?
Well, I've got one here. Ryan Norcross has one.
Yes, we're going to be playing that one here on the air.
Okay, so that's okay. Go ahead.
All right, let me make sure I've got all of these. Vinny, talk to Granny for a second while I get all of this arranged.
Granny, how you been? We missed a week.
Hey, do you know how many there are?
Contest entries?
Yeah.
Looks like about 8.
Oh, okay.
There's 8, Granny. 8.
Shouldn't take very long then, huh?
Hope not.
Oh.
It looks like about 8, and one of them is Ryan Norcross apparently doing this twice.
And Vinny?
Yes.
I just wanted to thank you for getting the newsletters out early, but guess what happened last week? Nanette was so busy doing something else, she didn't get them out till the next day.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I know.
All right, you ready, Granny?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's do this karaoke contest. So the first entry here is from Shane. And if this means anything to you, he is from Ireland.
Oh, excellent.
Wow.
Yeah, all the way from Ireland, Granny. You're world famous. Are you ready? Here we go.
Lex Luger, Lex Luger, Lex Luger, Lex Luger, Lex Luger. He's the Lex Luger. Hit it! Lex Luger.
Vinny's dying over here.
Lex Luger. Lex Luger. He's a Lex Luger.
I think we already got a winner.
I don't know if he's winning the contest, but that man is a winner in life.
I don't get it. I don't get that at all.
Who cares if he get it? What do you think of his performance?
Okay.
Okay?
I'll let you guys pick the winner.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, we have one.
Can't figure out how to go back all of a sudden.
Technology is confused, young Brian.
All righty. This person here says, this is an Irish traditional song. This is our second Irishman.
So 25% of the entries.
Here we go. Is there anybody in Ireland living in an aluminum house, or what's up?
I don't know what's up with the audio quality. I actually recognize the song.
There you go.
That's just an Irish song.
I believe that
song, I believe, in Irish.
Spoiled by the audio quality of this show, because these all sound hideous.
I don't know what to tell you.
All righty. Here is my... Oh, my God. You're not even going to believe this. Unless people are planning this, this is not an Irishman, but he's doing a rendition of an Irishman's theme.
Yeah.
Here we go. Paul Siebert.
What a shameful fate, lobster head, a careless man who could wind up dead. You wear your sin like it's some kind of prize, too many limes and too many lies, and whoa, these words are true and I'll make you believe. You'll fight for air and struggle just to breathe. You wore your cowardice well.
You're going too fast.
And I will send you riding straight to hell.
Hey, he tried.
Have you heard the song before you sang that one?
What'd you think about that singing, Granny?
Let me ask you, is there pictures of him doing it?
No, Ryan sent a video, but he's the only one.
Yeah, Ryan did, but the rest of them didn't, right?
The rest of them did not.
Okay. Want to know.
All right, so Eric here says, I hope you and Vinny enjoy this little blast from the past. I've been listening to 2005 and 6 radio shows, which has had this tune burning in my ears. Be warned, the singing is much louder than the background, so leave it quiet, lest you blow everybody's ears out. He's got two of these here. A 30-second and a 1 minute and 8 second. Which one do you want to hear, Vinny?
30 minutes or 1 minute and 8?
No, 30 seconds. 30 seconds or 1 minute and 8.
Let's do 1 minute and 8.
Here we go.
We only have 4 more or whatever. Oh, God.
The music is very quiet. For those that cannot hear it at all, it is the beginning of the Perfect Strangers theme.
Sometimes the world looks perfect. Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just... get a feeling like you need some kind of change.
Winner.
No matter what the odds are this time, nothing's gonna stand in my way. This flame in my heart and a long lost friend gives every dark street a light at the end.
This man's very talented.
Standing tall on the wings of my dream.
Sing it, Vinny.
Much better than Sean and I did.
Rise and fall on the wings of my
come on,
dream.
Vinny, duet.
No, he's doing good.
The rain of thunder, the wind and haze, I'm bound for better days. It's my life, my dream. Nothing's gonna stop me now.
Okay, do this part. Oh, man.
What a shame.
Hey, that was a good one, Granny.
I don't get any of these.
You don't remember Perfect Strangers?
I couldn't hardly even understand what he was talking about.
The television show Perfect Strangers.
It had Balky.
Yeah, Balky. Remember Balky?
Oh, yeah.
He was
him.
A baseball scandal. Oh, wait, that's Balco.
Huh?
Never mind.
Go ahead.
All right, Granny, it's the last one. You've seen this one. Ryan Norcross. Enjoy the whip and or nay-nay. Dear Brian, the great Vince, and the humble Granny. Ryan Norcross. Performing on YouTube.
Norcross-o.
You can see it, Vinny.
And see it.
Watch me nay-nay. Watch me whip. Oh, I'm doing the bop. Oh, you can't stop me. I'm doing the bop. Oh, stanky leg. Oh, the stanky leg. Oh, I'm doing the granny. I'm doing the granny. I'm doing the bear hide. I'm doing the Nash. Oh, my quad. Oh, my quad.
Apparently, that was the end. Vinny is stupefied.
Huh.
Vinny is stupefied. What do you think, Granny?
I'm watching that. It's crazy. Oh,
it is crazy.
Granny was watching live with the rest of us.
I knew this would be a really weird one because I'm not up to par on all this.
Yeah, Granny, I think the week off when I was in Los Angeles not reminding everybody may have screwed up the whole contest. That was of the entries.
I reminded everybody. And in fact, today I even put one in and reminded them. Some of them said they were going to send some in today, so it's not my fault.
Well,
I like when he did the Ver High pose. It was from that old banner we had, where we had like a militia, and I was
that's right,
posing
yeah.
like a dictator.
Yeah.
Only when he did it with the arms crossed, he came off like Dr. Wagner Jr.
He did.
Who was cooler than me?
He may have been.
I hadn't thought of that.
I don't know what Dr. Wagner Jr. looks like.
Apparently, he's Ryan Norcross.
Oh, there you go,
we
Granny.
Outed him.
So who did the Perfect Strangers?
It's up to you guys to pick because I got so confused. I don't know what I'm doing.
Isn't it the normal weekly show?
I don't know.
I'll just send in the $10 to whoever you pick.
Vince Verhey, P.O. Box. No, all right.
I vote for the Perfect Strangers theme.
That was actually yes, the best thing. The Lex Luger guy made me laugh harder.
Well, I'm voting for equality for once in the history of this contest.
History of the show.
Eric Gustafson, Granny. Eric Gustafson. Eric Gustafson is the winner. Eric, I want you to contact me, Brian, at WrestlingObserver.com with your PayPal address. I will forward it to Granny, and she will pay you. Congratulations.
You can send it to me.
Or you can send it to Granny, but it'd probably be easier to send it to me. Send it to whoever. But Granny will make sure that you get paid. Congratulations, Eric. A fine singing voice. All right, Granny, anything else?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this wrestling and not knowing very much about it, you know. And as often as I listen to you guys,
you still have no idea what's going on?
There's something in my brain that should, I could, you know, I'm not just there to listen to your voices, but like Sage and Paige, that hit me.
You're talking Sage Manzant and Paige VanZant?
Yeah, you said they were going to have a match.
Yeah. Well, no, they're not going to have a match. They're both fighting on the same card, and it's not wrestling. It's MMA.
Oh, I didn't know. See? I don't pay that much attention.
Oh,
and
man,
also,
I should hook... Granny, I should hook you up with a fight pass, and you can watch Paige and Sage fighting together on the same show.
Was it also Randy Orton, the son, going to be gone for a long time?
Randy Orton's going to be out for a while, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
See, you know what's going on.
I listened to you and Lance.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah, didn't get too much out of that one, except he's the handsome guy.
That's what you got out of listening to his show, that he's a handsome man.
Yeah.
All right, great.
I guess that's about it. And, I've already decided what I want to do for my birthday, but...
Oh, that's right, you got a birthday coming up.
Your mom can tell you what I want.
My mom is going to... So you there's something that you want.
Yeah. I already told her.
I'm sure I can swing that for you, Granny, unless it's like a new car.
Okay.
Well, that was a very low-key Granny segment.
Yep.
All right, we'll pick it up again next week, Granny. Make sure that phone is turned on. I don't like to worry about you.
Well, you know what? I was thinking, I was working outside, and when I go outside, I put on my jeans, and I put my phone in the pocket. And so that must have been what happened, because I never turned that thing on airplane mode.
I know. That's why I was honest to God, Granny, I was going to drive over to your house after the show if you didn't answer.
Well, and the thing of it was, I got so involved in some of this politics stuff that I didn't look at my email.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are you watching?
Well, all that stuff that was going on today.
Oh. Okay.
No, I don't have any idea.
Cool. All right, Granny. Yep.
Okay. Later.
All right. Next time
I'll pick the contest.
That's right. Next time we want to involve you more.
Yeah, you know, you usually think my contests are dumb, and I think yours are, so we're pretty even.
Wow.
And Granny, you know what? Why don't we bring back the, what's that form of poetry, Vinny, that we did that one time that was really popular?
Haiku?
The haiku contest. Let's think about that. We'll think about that for next week, Granny. We'll announce it next week, but we'll think about doing a haiku contest, and you think of a theme.
I don't know what you're even talking about.
All right, great. Well, be ready for next week.
Okay, so I don't have to have one next week.
No. We'll talk about it on next week's show.
Okay.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, later.
Bye-bye. Holy smokes.
What a weird show this was.
This was a weird show.
I hope you all enjoyed it.
And you know what, everybody?
Sincerely,
it's over.
I do hope you enjoyed it.
I hope you did, too. You know, we had a lot of people asking when we were no longer going to review Raw, besides the one numbskull who concluded that I was no longer going to even watch Raw. And a lot of people asking if you were still going to be watching the pay-per-views. Yes, the answer is yes. Whether we review Raw or not, Vinny will be here on Sunday for the WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. We'll recap that. And it'll be the first of four shows that day. Sundays are nightmares for me. But four shows on Sunday. We'll have Wrestling Observer Live, Wrestling Observer Radio, Brian and Vinny Show, and After Dark Radio. Talking to a man who went to the Vatican to cover an exorcism.
Oh.
I cannot wait for this.
That would be better than Hell in a Cell.
When I saw the book,
Vatican is better.
Oh, yeah. I saw this guy wrote a book, and I was like, I'm all over this. He's the guy, the film The Right. He's the guy who wrote the book that turned into the film. So he's going to be on the show Sunday. So anyway, everybody, that is it. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.